Happy Easter.
Christ is risen.
He is risen
indeed.
Alleluia. If you had known any of those construction workers who were working up on the Keys Bridge in Baltimore earlier this week, what would you have done? If you had realized that the Keys Bridge would get struck by a cargo ship very early Tuesday morning and collapse in 15 seconds, what would you have said? So many things in this life happen, and we had no idea that they were coming. They hit suddenly and quickly, and it can be scary. We don't know what's happening next week or what'll happen next year. We don't know whether we'll die sooner or 20, 30, 40 years from now. But we've come here today because we know one thing. We know what matters most, what's most important for us and for the world and for eternity. I know that my Redeemer lives. We'll hear more about that in our service, in our lessons, in our service today. Let's begin by singing the first five verses of I Know That My Redeemer Lives, and please stand for the fifth verse. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my defense. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous.
The Lord's right hand has done mighty things.
The Lord's right hand is lifted high.
The Lord's right hand has done mighty things.
I will not die, but live.
And will proclaim what the Lord has done.
Our risen Lord invites us to confess our sins and hear his forgiveness. Holy Lord, we confess that we were born children of the devil, slaves to sin, and bound for eternal suffering. We have labored with loveless words and toiled away at hurtful actions. We have been slow to give you glory and to live out our responsibilities. We deserve nothing but death. Lord, have mercy on us. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us by his holy and precious blood shed at the cross. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We know that our Redeemer lives. Therefore, our faith is sure, our sins are forgiven, and our place by his side in glory is secure. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you conquered death and opened the gate to eternal life. Grant that we who have been raised with him through baptism may walk in newness of life and ever rejoice in the hope of sharing his glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be dominion and praise now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first lesson today, taken from Job chapter 19. Job knew death. All of his children died in one day. He knew that loss, yet he also knew by faith what we also know by faith, that his Redeemer lives. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. how my heart yearns within me. The word of the Lord.
Circle in the arms of love.
Our second lesson, taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because our Redeemer lives, that means we know what will happen in the end. We too will rise, and death defeated. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The word of the Lord.
Dying for our sins.
Please stand in honor of the gospel. Today's gospel from Mark chapter 16 serves as the basis for our sermon. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe and sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated for our next hymn. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. God's word in our sermon today from Mark 16, let us pray. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Amen. It was a chilly, windy morning back in 1925, late January, and a lanky 160-pound man by the name of Floyd Collins decided to go cave exploring. He found a cave about a few miles from his house, and he crawled way down, made it quite a ways in, and then as he was climbing out, he accidentally knocked over his oil lamp. The cave became pitch black, filled all over with darkness. And even though he was still about 120 feet from the mouth of the cave and 55 feet below the surface of the earth, he decided, well, I need to keep climbing. Until one of his feet, as he was climbing out, dislodged a large boulder. That boulder rolled down and pinned his ankle. He was stuck. There in the cave, as he was trying to scramble and scrape to get out, more debris, rocks, pebbles, gravel kept falling and tightening ever more on his leg. There was cold water dripping on his face. He was all scratched up, but there was nothing he could do. He was trapped under that huge boulder. But even if you are not a spelunker, if you don't enjoy going and climbing around in caves, you know what that feels like. Because death is a boulder. And death has us pinned down and in deep pain. It is cold and it is dark. We know what it feels like because each of us has had loved ones who have died. And as death squeezes away at our hearts at moments like that, we know what it feels like because when there's a major injury or a dire diagnosis, death has a way of tightening its grip on each of us. We know what it feels like because we deserve it. We deserve death because of our sins. Yet Mary, and Salome, and the other women who were on their way to the tomb that first Easter morning, they knew what that heavy weight felt like, the weight of death. It had crushed their hearts just days earlier when their Lord Jesus died on the cross. There they were, on their way to the tomb. They desperately wanted to finish the work that Joseph and Nicodemus had started before the Sabbath because they loved their Lord so deeply. They wanted to show their appreciation and honor for him. Because they loved the Lord, they also wanted to honor the Sabbath. The Sabbath, that day of rest that God had given to his Old Testament Israelites, was all about remembering God's work for them. Just as God himself had rested on the seventh day from all of his work of creating, so he could sit back and just enjoy everything that he had done. The Sabbath was a day that God had given to his Old Testament Israelites to rest and remember the rescue he had given them from slavery in Egypt, and to look forward to the perfect rest that he would give them one day. Yet very early, on the first day of the week, after the Sabbath had passed, now these women, they were on their way to the tomb. Very early, perhaps, because they had a difficult time sleeping, weighed down by death. Or perhaps just because they were eager to finish that work, washing and anointing Jesus' body. After all, at that place and at that time, bodies decayed very quickly in that climate. So they wanted to get to work at it. Yet, on the way to the tomb, it wasn't just the boulder of death. There was another large stone on their mind. They began to ask each other, who will roll away the stone? That very large stone that was on its way, that was covering the entrance of the tomb. Back when Floyd Collins was stuck in the cave, his neighbors the next day found his coat hanging outside the cave, and they realized something was wrong. They called out, he called back, And immediately they went to work assembling a rescue team. That rescue team tried lowering a rope down the cave, pulling him out. That didn't work. They tried taking a crowbar down and using a jack and trying to get things opened up for him that way, but that didn't work either. Several days they worked at trying to rescue him from the cave, and then a cave-in happened. So they got to work with even more people, digging a side tunnel down, 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 day after day to try to get to Floyd. But by the time they made it to him, over 2 weeks later, Floyd didn't make it. No matter how hard he tried, no matter how hard everyone else tried, death is a boulder that we can't budge. And it is that sense of hopelessness that the women were on their way to the tomb with until they looked up and they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Amazing! This could not have happened by human power. Death's boulder could not be removed in that way. Heaven had to move it. Matthew's gospel records that earlier that morning there was a huge earthquake, everything shook. An angel came down from heaven and rolled away the stone from the entrance to the tomb. Now the women could see and go in. When they went into the tomb, there was an angel in the form of a human, a young man wearing gleaming garments of white. Oh, that must have stood out. That bright, dazzling angel, holy, full of life, standing in contrast to the gloom of the grave. And it wasn't just the angel's presence, but everything he said, too, was vibrant with life. Don't be alarmed. He is risen. Come and see. Those women had come expecting to find a dead body, but they found no death. They had come with spices to help things smell better, but when they arrived, there was no bad odor. They had come with the heaviest of hearts, but when they got there, there was nothing that needed to be lifted away. The stone is removed. And it wasn't removed so that Jesus could escape. It was removed so that the women could go in and see what wasn't there. Because earlier that morning, before the women, before the stone, before the angel, before the earthquake, Jesus had lifted the bigger boulder, the biggest stone. Jesus had removed death. He came alive in the grave, and he descended into hell. He declared his victory to the devil, to the demons, and to all the damned. He had conquered death. He was risen, now risen from the dead and exalted. There were no cave, no stone, no bars, no prison that could hold Christ in. He is the Lord Almighty, with making full use of his almighty powers. He goes wherever he wants, whenever he wants. And the women could see that. As they looked around at the empty tomb, they could see, as John's gospel records, strips of linen lying there and a grave cloth all folded up neatly. If grave robbers had been there, they wouldn't have left things that way, certainly not folding up the grave cloth that covered Jesus' face. No, it wasn't grave robbers. Death had been robbed. Death was removed. There in the tomb, no body, but what did fill the tomb was the words. The words of the Lord spoken through that angel. And that's how the Lord operates. Because there were no eyewitnesses of Jesus in the act of rising from the dead. That's not how the Lord chooses to do things. He chooses to use his powerful word, which sounds to you and me this morning. That gospel opens the eyes of our hearts so that our souls can see. And by that almighty word, we know he is risen. He is not here. Christ is risen indeed. And he's not just risen in our hearts or alive in our hopes. We see by faith that Christ, his resurrection, is a historical reality. He truly is risen from the dead. And that means that we don't have to be alarmed either. Death is removed. As you and I walk closer, as we approach every day our own tomb, as this year, this Easter, we are once again 1 year closer to the end of our time here, as over the past year, brothers and sisters in Christ have fallen asleep, we know that death is removed. Just as Christ's time in the tomb was temporary, so is ours as well. We will only fall asleep, and he will wake us up. Our eternity is secure in his hands. Look, the stone is rolled away, and see that death is removed, but also speak that Christ is risen. Back when Floyd was stuck in the cave, there were all kinds of people that came to see that. His brother came, the neighbors came, the rescue team came, members of the media, curious people from all over came to see what was going on. Even the National Guard from Kentucky came, not only to help with the rescue, because unfortunately, several people in the crowd got a little bit unruly for a while, too. They needed to be controlled. But one of the reporters, a man by the name of William Miller, he actually crawled down into the cave to try to help and also to talk to Floyd. And because of that reporter, he daily wrote stories about this, released it to the Associated Press, which sent it out to 1,200 news outlets all around the country. People everywhere, even all around the world, learned the story of Floyd Collins stuck in that cave. And that's what Easter is all about, too. It's about the story getting out. The angel said to the women, "Go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." What mercy! Those women, together with the rest of the disciples, they dismissed Jesus' words ahead of time. He's going to die, and on the third day, rise again. Ah, they ignored that. That can't be true. We don't want that to happen. Yet the Lord, through his angel, appointed those women as the first messengers after Christ rose from the dead, the first human messengers. And you and I are just like those women. Whether we're a pastor or a parishioner, man or woman, parent or child, young or old, we've all been slow to listen to Jesus' words. Yet in his mercy, this angel says to you today, you go and tell. You get to be part of sharing that message to everyone that you meet. Now, the angel told the women to talk to the disciples. Think about that. That wouldn't have been too intimidating. It's not as though the angel told the women, you should go and talk to all kinds of random strangers on the streets in Jerusalem. Or go and tell the cohort of Roman soldiers. That would have been intimidating. But no, just go and tell the disciples. These were men that those women knew well, that had spent plenty of time with when they were with Jesus ministering. And the disciples needed to hear it desperately. Because all of the disciples abandoned Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, they needed to hear that Jesus was not a fraud, that Jesus' ministry was not a failure, that Jesus' death was not for nothing. Because Jesus rose from the dead, that means he fulfilled everything he came for. He forgave their sins, and their futures, their eternal future, is held firmly in his almighty grasp. And Peter. The angel singled out Peter. Peter, of all people, needed to hear that Jesus had risen from the dead. Peter was so self-assured. He was so confident in his own commitment. And then personally, directly, repeatedly denied Jesus. What a disappointment. What a failure. Yet this angel, this messenger of the Lord, asks you this morning, put your name in for Peter's. You, with all of the ways that you have disappointed Jesus, all of the sins that you've repeated, Jesus wants you personally to know that he is risen. He is going ahead of you, and you will see him. He longs to be with you. He wants you to be with him forever. Be of good cheer. Be comforted. Be encouraged. He is risen. And those women, as they went to tell, they didn't have to say anything new. Everything they were to report was simply relaying what Jesus had said, just as he has said. For you too, as you go and tell others about Jesus' resurrection, you don't have to come up with anything creative or innovative or witty. Simply repeat what Jesus has said to you. Jesus came for you. Jesus died for you. Jesus rose again. And you can say this: I know that my Redeemer lives. And in the end, he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Those women, listen to this last verse here. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. That seems kind of strange, doesn't it? What a way to end a section of scripture for a sermon on Easter. The women ran away, scared, silent. They had just seen the empty tomb. The stone rolled away. The angel had just talked to them. Jesus is risen, and now this? What a flat ending. Yet Matthew's gospel records one detail that Mark doesn't, that before the women were completely away from the tomb, Jesus himself met the women. They clasped his feet and worshiped him, but Jesus came to those women to roll yet another stone away, the slab of fear that covered their mouths. You and I know all about that, don't we? The times we've kept quiet when we should have spoken up about Jesus. Jesus comes to you and me this morning to remove that stone as well. The boulder of fear, he rolls away and tosses aside. He unstops our lips so that our mouths will declare his praises. We will speak to anyone who will listen that our Savior is alive. The stone is rolled away. Speak that Christ is risen. That man, William Miller, the reporter who talked and wrote the stories and sent out the news articles about Floyd being caught in the cave, William ended up winning a Pulitzer Prize. People all over the country and all over the world had an interest in what he had to say, the story he had to tell. But it wasn't because of William in and of himself. It was because a man spent some time in a cave. As you leave God's house this morning, know this: you have a prize waiting for you as well. Kept in heaven, it can never perish, spoil, or fade. And it's not because of anything you've done, no matter how many people you tell about the resurrection. It's all because, and only because, of a man who spent some time in a cave. And that cave couldn't hold him. The stone is rolled away. So look again and see that death is removed. And keep talking. Never stop saying, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed, second article. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. All this he did that I should be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from death, and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true. Let us pray. God of all grace, we thank you for the gift of eternal life in your Son. By the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and by the faithful testimony of the apostles, you have assured us that our faith stands on a sure and solid foundation. Lord, you watch over our coming and going now and forever. We ask you to be with all your people who travel this week, especially those going on the trip to Greece. Bless the sights that they see and the scripture that they reflect on from the early days of your New Testament church. In your mercy, bring them and all of us home one day to heaven through our risen Savior Jesus. Lord, you forgive our sins and heal our diseases. Please watch over Eileen Perrone through her hip surgery tomorrow. Give success to the medical team and a smooth recovery for Eileen according to your will. Lord, in the beginning you established marriage for the blessing of families and society. We ask you to be with Randy and Lori Wehrman as they celebrate 40 years of marriage later this week. We praise you for the gifts of children and grandchildren. In your grace, preserve them all as members of your family for eternity. Amen. Please be seated for our next hymn, Christ is Risen, He is Risen Indeed.
Thank you.
Can we join in the prayer our risen Savior has taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.